Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Ha! Just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Happy Tuesday, ALN fans, or Monday night. I think we put this up Monday night, but it was recorded today with an ALN favorite, an ALN legend, a podcast comedy guru, and you know this guy. You love him. He almost died from hearing me hiccup on the podcast about 6-7 months ago. It's Josh Wolf, baby. You know him from his show, The Prince and the Wolf. You know him from Controlled Chaos, Chelsea Lately, Lights Out with David Spade. The dude's one of the funniest fellas in the game, one of my closest friends in comedy and life. And he's on the verge of blowing up. He's got two pending things right now that we can't talk about, but boy, he is just on the cusp, man. And this podcast was just one of the most fun chats I've had in a while. And Josh is the man. His YouTube page is now up to 1 million subscribers. It was at 50,000 a year and a half ago. But this dude is just becoming more known and loved. His special Father of the Year is out. Go get it wherever you get specials. Go see him live at the Josh Wolf Comedy. JoshWolfComedian.com. He's touring all over the country. And go see him. He's one of the best storytellers and comics in the game. And follow him on Twitter and Instagram at JoshWolfComedy. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow the podcast at ALN Podcast. AdamRayComedy.com for all my tour dates. I'm at the Celebrity Theater this weekend with Frank Caliendo and Brian Callen in Phoenix, Arizona for the KUPD charity gig. Me, Caliendo, and Callen, come see us December 21st, Celebrity Theater in the round, 2,600 people. And the next weekend, the 27th through the 31st, that's New Year's, baby, the DC Improv in Washington, DC, bringing Josh Adam Myers and Avery Pearson with me for, I think, six shows, December 27th through the 31st at DC Improv. And then January 2nd through the 4th, I'm at Comics at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. And then Baltimore, Seattle, and Portland fill out January. And then we get into Feb and March and April. And the hits just keep on coming, baby. Of course, my album Songs for the People is out right now. You can get that on Amazon Music, Spotify, Pandora, Sirius, Google Play, iTunes. Go get it. 13 songs, 5 sketches, Songs for the People. And my comedy, my stand-up album, Read the Room, is also available on all those platforms. Go listen and enjoy yourselves for the holidays. Email aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Your favorite ALN moments of this past 500 eps with me and little Brad Williams. Favorite ALN moments, how you get the pod, why you got into it. And you will get some Adam Ray merch as part of the 2019 Adam Ray Holiday Merch Giveaway. That's aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Sent out a bunch of merch last week, and more is coming your way, as well as the two best of episodes, part one and part two, the next few weeks to close out 2019. And then news and the announcement of the ALN rebrand and what's in store for you guys for 2020. I cannot wait to share it. So now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Josh Wolf, our guest, and me, Adam Ray.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a dude, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
This looks like the video when you're checking out a new place. It looks decorate. Fuck. This come furnished, or did you guys decorate this?
She did all that.
This is a garage?
Yeah.
I've never wanted to live in a garage more than I do right
How
now.
How crazy is
Except
that?
Except for the Christmas tree. Going to have to swap that out for a menorah. Listen, but other than that.
You got a giant menorah, inflatable one in the backyard.
An inflatable menorah? What will Jews come up with next? By the way, that is one of the things that Jews need to step their game up on, is how to get into the merchandising game.
Yeah.
Which you would think we would have an upper hand on that. You know, because of the stereotypes with us, with money and all that, but like...
No, we really fell short on the dreidel.
We did. That's a fun... But it's not a...
Is it?
There's no kid rushing home
no.
in a commercial to play dreidel.
No.
You're rushing home. You're waking up early to check if Santa has left you presents. There's no immediacy to any Jewish game or holiday.
Let me ask you another
question. We got 8 nights of Hanukkah. I can fucking sleep through the first 3.
Yeah, and the first one, you're getting a pencil. You're like, what the fuck?
Well, I wasn't that poor, and I had a single mom. But what were you were getting a pencil?
Yeah, dude. I got
matches once.
We were poor. And so if my dad would buy us something that he thought was expensive, he would just split it up into 8 pieces. You get
this. Pencil, and then you get a pencil sharp. So,
yeah,
so
the
eraser, he'd pull the eraser off the pencil and make that nice.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, but you hear, okay. But you know what? Here's another thing we need to, as Jews, start to market ourselves.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anyone say, I got so fucked up at the office Hanukkah party last night?
Oh, you're right. No, I haven't. And you need to. There's a movie called Christmas Party. There's not a fucking movie called Seder. Seder gone wrong?
No. And listen, Rock of Ages is a terrible song. Our songs are also not very festive. Dreidel song, maybe?
But, do you remember the lyrics?
Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. And when it's nice and ready, oh, dreidel, I will play. Hey!
I believe it's dry and ready.
Oh, really?
Unless you grew up in a different part of town.
We didn't make our own dreidel.
Nice and ready?
Did you?
See, dry and ready. Cause, okay, there you go. Nice. I mean,
dry makes sense, though.
Also, I remember, too, they would be like, we're putting the dreidels, you make them out of clay, and then you put them in the oven. I was like, I think we should stay clear of ovens the time being.
Yeah. Can we go plastic?
Yeah, can we go?
Can I tell you something really embarrassing?
Yeah.
Okay.
But first of all, amazing garage, fired up that you got a place that you love. Because that was the problem with the bigger house. You had too much space. This people don't know that your old place was dope, but I think we can all attest, like, sometimes... You know, your stomach's a little, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. And you're like, fucking hell yeah, pool and all this. I remember the first time we sat in your backyard at the pool, smoking a blunt, just being like, wow, dude, you made it. Like, this is dope. And then you were like, and I haven't been out there since.
Yeah, I because I had to work so hard to keep the house.
Yeah.
I never enjoyed the house.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Okay. Super embarrassing. Ready? So, you know, I was a single dad for a while.
Yep.
I'm Jewish. I didn't grow up Christmas.
Right.
But the kids, the mom was Christian. So we always did Christmas. So the first year, I do Christmas with Beth. I get the tree and she comes over and she says, what's wrong with your tree? So here's what I didn't know, Adam. I didn't know that ornaments had hooks. I thought you were supposed to string them through the tiny little holes.
Nope.
On the branches. So that first year that I... Okay. You ready? So the first year I got a tree...
Why isn't there a competition show called Jews Decorating Trees?
The first year I got a tree, Adam, I was like, I need one of those thin branch trees because I couldn't get the ornaments. I just found one branch on the whole tree. So I strung them all on this one branch that just hung like this, right?
So how many ornaments?
Oh, I could only fit like 14 or something.
Yeah.
So then by the time Beth got there, I would hunt for the thin branch tree. So I could usually find a tree that had 3, maybe 4 thin branches on it. So there were like 3 branches weighed down. And she goes, what's wrong with your tree? I go, what do you mean? She said, did you not buy hooks? And I was like, hooks.
It's like forgetting the flour in a cookie, the main ingredient.
But the hooks don't come in the bag with the ornament. So how am I supposed to? Yeah,
that's where dudes just get a lot of slack. We think as far as what you've put in front of us.
Yes.
You know?
Did you say Jews or dudes?
Dudes.
Jew dudes.
Jew dudes. Dude Jews.
Dudes?
If you were pitching the Beach Cop show in the 80s, would it be Dude Jews or Jew dudes? Jew dudes sounds better, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude Jews is because then JD is on the badge.
Jew dudes?
Or DJ. Fuck, either way.
Jew dudes?
Jew dudes.
I don't mind
Jew dudes.
Rolls
off the tongue better.
Yeah, and it probably has a good theme song.
If you're looking to join a band and you've got Dude Jews or Jew dudes both coming at you wanting your services.
Jew dudes.
You go Jew dudes.
I think Jew dudes across the board is better. Just Dude Jews is like, it sounds like a dog treat. Dude Jews.
Yeah, Dude Jews.
Yeah, try it.
Which, by the way, speaking of dog treats, so I performed at my sister's 20-year high school reunion.
What?
And yeah.
Wait,
and
what?
This was
she asked you to do stand-up?
She didn't go, so they were putting it all together, and she's a couple years older than me, so I grew up with most of the people that were going to school there, and I went to high school with all of them, but she was at a boarding school from basically, she went to freshman year of high school, but I was in eighth grade, so then by the time I got there, I should have been a freshman, she should have been a junior, she went to the boarding school, so I did high school solo, people knew that I was her brother, but I also kind of got a chance to do a fresh start. Not everybody, and she wasn't there too, so it wasn't didn't have the brother-sister dynamic at school, and it was probably for the best, but so I knew all those people, so she was like, since I didn't have a positive experience, it'd be really cool that, you know, everyone that's removed from the business, and we've both done enough cool shit to think that performing at a reunion from people that are outside of Hollywood should be cool. But yeah. I also am just like, really? Do they really care? And they were geeking out real hard. So it was fun. But I show up and there was no real performing space. They kind of had, it was at a bar and there was an outdoor patio. And the area where they wanted me to perform, there was no stage. It was just a mic. And somebody was up there doing the time capsule thing. And it was so loud and nobody was listening. And I walk in, I was like, so where am I doing stand-up? And they're like, right there. I was like, where Wayne Pishew is being not listened to. Wayne Pishew,
Wayne Pishew.
How big do you think that guy is based on the name?
Well, first of all, I think he ran for class president and he didn't get it. Wayne Pishew.
I love that you even put him in the conversation.
I think he was excited.
Cool guy. Guess what? Got the goods to run for president, but... You know,
no,
there's no running in Wayne's life.
No.
He's a big dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Oh, okay.
But guess what? One of my favorite people.
Yep.
Met this kid briefly in high school, had a few classes together, hadn't seen him since. And he was the one that kind of spearheaded being like, dude, what do you need to make this better? He's one of the people that put the reunion together. And there was a DJ. You walked in, basically to your left was the makeshift no stage where he was standing to do the, and then to the right was a bar. And then just around the corner from that shitty stage to the left when you walked in was the DJ area with the speakers all the way in the back and a long strip of hallway. So I was like, well, that's where we got to put chairs and tables. And if the big speakers are back there, I'll stand in front of that. At least it's also away from the bar.
Yeah.
So they did that and it worked out okay. This kid named Robbie Knowles was there, fucking shit-faced. An hour into the reunion, I end up doing like heckling him a little bit, but then it got real because he was like, dude, I'm having a rough year.
Oh,
and it
got like, no.
And then I was like, oh, give it up for Robbie, man. I was like, Robbie, we'll drive you home tonight, man. I was like, dude, I gotta be honest, I saw you like this the last time I saw you. So there's, you know, there is something funny about this.
And I'm having a rough year.
And he was blackout. So, but performing there was, why did I bring this up? What were we talking about?
It's
the problem with you and I. We get on these roles, and then the pot part of our brain goes, yeah. You know what, dude? Why don't you just fucking...
Why don't you start talking about this now? And you're like, oh, okay. And then you forget.
There was a point to it, the reunion. What
were we talking about before the reunion? Jew dudes, dreidel, Hanukkah.
No, past that. Jew dudes.
Two Jews.
Two Jews.
Dude Jews.
The movie, the band. Oh, God. It was really good, dude. Does anybody remember? Nobody's listening. Oh, this sucks. No. I had a whole point to the whole reunion. Dog treat.
You know there are people screaming at their right now at their speaker.
Dog treats. Like the worst game show ever. You're in the audience screaming like the Price is Right. It's $4.99 for the dinette set. $5.22. Damn it!
Dog treats!
That's going to rival the hiccup moment.
Oh, my.
Which,
nothing
by the way,
rivals.
Nothing does. Real quick, and I will remember dog treats because there's a great story there. I posted a picture, a 500 episode ALN poster, right, with all the names, guest names we've had, and was like, dude, I'm going to send out some posters, favorite moments. Go ahead, tag them away. I don't know if you saw. I also got a lot of messages where people were like, they'd either give one or three, and... 70% of the time, dude, it'd be like, this was great, but I don't know if I can find something better than when Josh Wolf was on and you had your hiccup attack.
Listen.
You
know how much I like to laugh. That might be, when people ask me, what's the hardest you've ever laughed? I'm like, I got to tell you, I can't think
too,
of a time that I've laughed harder. There are two times in my life where I was, my stomach hurt, I dry heaved. That was uncontrollable. That's one.
Got up and left the table.
Yep.
Almost walked out of the apartment.
I had to catch my breath. The other time, honestly, was the very first Jackass because I had never seen anything like it.
I know.
And when they were coming down the hill in that shopping cart, and then the first time one of them turned to punch the other one in the face, I'm like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Those two things so I can unexpected. Remember. Yeah.
But also, you didn't come over to do... that episode no. with any sort of understanding of what I was going through.
No.
I was like, I haven't eaten. I took these antibiotics and then the rest is history.
Dude, do you know, for me, it combined so many things that I love.
Yeah.
One, it combined
friendship.
Yes. And somebody being, here's another thing I like, somebody being so frustrated with something and not being able to stop it.
Yeah. And not stopping, but also understanding the comedic value.
Good God.
And needing to power through the episode. Because that, that's
thought you
what
were going to throw up a couple times.
Me too.
There were a couple where you went, ugh.
It was the follow through on some of the burps that was so guttural. Your face. And then some of them would be quick. And then there was one that was deep. And you were like, dude, where did that come from? You were so concerned for my body at that point.
Oh my God.
And then it was like, man, I might have to go to the hospital. Yeah. And then it was like, and then it would subside. And then it would start again. And then also there was a look of terror on my face at one point. When I saw you look into my eyes at one point and see that I was genuinely concerned.
Yes.
And then it was like, but I kept going, we need to go through because this is funny. But then it stopped being funny. And then it became funnier because then I was like, but then when I was like, dude, now I'm really worried. And then you just, and then it would happen again. And then it would happen again. And then you would just, Josh is crying right now. Just remembering it.
It was an onslaught of,
I need to animate it because it's a clip that needs to be, or just isolate the audio and put something along with it. But it's, and thank God we got a few of those clips. I pulled out my phone for a minute to get your reaction.
You haven't posted the audio of that?
No.
Oh,
I know.
Dude.
Do you think animating it isn't fair? Just post the audio on a YouTube?
Fair?
Well, like it's because it's, what I don't know what's better, to listen to that or to watch the animated version of it with the audio. Well, I guess the anime would be pretty great, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because what else would they be watching? They'd just be listening?
Yeah. But just that chunk, you know?
I mean, come on.
Animating would be pretty special, right?
It's so funny.
Because also getting up, because I could put in you getting up to leave, you know?
It was, I'm going to tell you, like, I got so many messages after that.
You did?
Oh, so many messages. Oh, just about, I've never heard someone laugh that hard.
Yeah.
Could he really not stop it? I was like, it was the most genuine.
Yeah.
Because you went in between also. You went in between laughter and concern.
Yeah.
Which makes me laugh also.
Which makes the laughter become more prominent.
Oh,
my. You know, it was so real. That was amazing. And you you crushed, I mean, you were probably on the pod 4 or 5 times and just delivered, which is.
Yeah, that to me is still. I mean, I've gone back and listened to it. Okay. And I've never listened.
Did Beth listen to it?
No, she's not a. If I said, hey, find this podcast, she'd be like, I don't know.
Right, but even that. Okay, well, when I isolate, when I post the thing, she'll watch it.
Yeah,
clip.
Absolutely.
Okay, so dog treats. Yeah. Go to this reunion, and I see again people that I've grown up with more or less that were 2 years above me and that I had Little League or basketball or something with. And this kid, Brett Von Hoffman. By the way, I've gotten into a thing lately where I'm saying the full name of the deep cut.
That's a Joey Diaz
connection.
That's a Joey Diaz.
Does always he do that?
First and last name.
You and I both love to tell stories.
Yes.
You are way better at it than me. I do it more on podcasts because I envy. Also, when I see people like you do it on stage, I'm just like, I can't. I've got a few stories that I tell, but they're so. I do them definitely more jokey than you know, like it's a longer still joke.
I love
but
the
you
way you
take
tell
your
stories,
time.
Man.
Yeah, I feel like I got a few that are okay, but they're still coded in this joke thing where I'm hitting beats where you're up there. You know what it is and you could probably tell it 5 different ways. Anyway, this kid, Brett Von Hoffman, comes up to me. I haven't seen him in, I don't know, 20 years. And I don't go to brettvonhoffman.com anymore.
I'm gonna tonight.
Should have ended the show on that. I'm gonna tonight. That's the commercial for it.
I think it's .net. But
it's .net now.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up, and by the way, I'm reconnecting with this girl, Ashley Rogers, who her sister Erica worked with me at Albertsons. She was a checker when I was a bagger. There's a hierarchy there. She was also old. She was a senior when I was a freshman.
Yep.
And she was gorgeous. So like I had a grocery store crush on her. You know, it's the workplace.
Workplace crushes are.
Even in a grocery store, dude, there's the.
But they're
the
intense
drama.
Too. Workplace crushes are intense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I got a, I believe it was a hand job from the girl that worked in the service deli. She was 22 and I was 17.
In the cooler or
and,
where?
Outside of the store.
Oh. Oh. You know what's funny? Let me tell you what's funny about that.
Like that I stayed in the grocery store.
But you said it to me like, what are you, an animal? Yeah. Like, and all I was thinking was, that would be great.
Yeah, yeah. She left the apron on. Yeah, yeah, near the cookies. Got to pick the aisle. Yeah. That's so funny. So many grocery store stories, by the way. Could fill a whole podcast. But definitely, I didn't know the game of how to... I'm 17. This happens, you're older. I guess you kind of wanted to date, and then it just kind of stopped. I didn't call. It was just whatever. And definitely, she used to hook me up, very flirty when she was behind the counter. She'd stiff-arm customers to make small talk with me. And I was just, you know,
all right. Yeah,
freshman high school and silly and fun and just didn't even... Also, had no wherewithal to understand that she was even really into me. I didn't pick up on that yet. And but I definitely remember the time. It was like maybe a week after, I think she tried to get in touch with me and I was not reciprocating. And because I don't know. I was just like, instead of talking it out, I think in my head I was like, I can't. I'm 17 years 22. Like, I don't want to. Also, I just was like, no, I'm not going to. I'm in high school and this is, I should have just said all that, right? Well, but so definitely when I come back to the service deli and I'm like, hey, mind if I get some potato salad? I'm on break. She's like, it's going to be a minute. And I was like, did I just...
It was potato salad code for hand job?
Hilarious. No, it was code for potato salad. Oh. I love potato salad. That was my go-to on break snack. Potato salad.
I thought that was the wink, wink. Hey, can I get some potato salad in the back?
Metabolism was just through the roof. I'd get a you know, Albertsons was big on the fresh out of the bakery. They had Mary.
Yes.
Yeah. This Mary had... She a little bit of a hunchback, and she had real big saggy boobs. She would just wheel out these fresh.
Wait! Go back to the
French
hunchback.
Breads.
How old was Mary? Mary's 22.
In her 60s.
Oh, I was gonna say 22-year-old hunchback.
Mary, there was Carrie in the service deli. Right. Mary in the bakery,
and Mary had a little bit of a hunchback.
A lot of a hunchback.
My nana did
but
too.
But a great knack for making French bread.
Yeah, well, that's nice.
Yeah, so she'd wheel that shit out, and I would come over, and she'd be like, I know you got some, you're yearning for some more French bread. I was like, yeah, but I just, you know, I jerked myself out of potato salad, so I have to eat this dry now. So I used to dip it in the potato salad, wash it down with a little Diet Coke.
Oh, Mary and Carrie came through.
Yeah. So they,
did you ever get a hand job from Mary?
No. I don't even know why I paused. Definitely not.
Oh, yeah.
Why did I even have to think about that? Wow. But yeah. So I'm at this reunion. Brett Von Hoffman comes up and he goes, and I'm talking to Ashley Rogers, Erica, again, the checker who worked there, sister. She's real sweet and just chumming it up. And Brett just comes over and kind of inserts himself in the group chat and then goes, Adam, just finds a moment to just intercept and take control of the whole convo and goes, Adam, do you remember when you came over to my house when we were kids to play and you dared me that I could to eat milk bone dog biscuits with you? And I go, good to see you, Brett.
Yeah.
And I look at Ashley and she was like, what? I go, I don't know. What the fuck? And he was like, yeah, man. He's like, we ate dog bones. You were like, in my house. He's like, I was like, still to this day, I was like, that was a baller move. You came to my house and made me eat my dog's bones. I was like, I don't know if I made you. He's like, you were very aggressive about it. I was like, and he's like, and I had to force it down, but you were eating it like you'd done it before. And like,
you'd done it, a pro?
Eating a dog bone, and I don't remember that. How do you not remember eating a dog bone?
Let me tell you. When my kids were, I'm going to go 7, 5, and 3.
Great.
And you know, I was still taking care of them by myself. And
damn,
we were PetSmart. And I love playing practical jokes on my kids.
Yes.
It's, for me.
To this day?
100%.
Even better when they're older, if they can get away with more, no?
It's easier when they're dumb.
Yeah.
You know?
So 7 versus like 20.
Yeah, harder to trick them.
Okay.
But, so we're at PetSmart. And we're getting something for my dog, obviously. And my daughter comes up with a dog treat that looks like a cookie. You know, because in PetSmart, they have those big bins.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them look legit like cookies.
Some of them are cookies.
So she
says, for the dog.
She says to me, hey, can I have a cookie? And I go, what? She goes, can you buy me this cookie? And I go, you want to eat that cookie? She said, yeah. And Jacob had one too. And I go, you want to eat that too, buddy? And they said, yeah. She was like, yeah, can I? I go, yeah, you can both eat that right now.
Oh, no.
And I turn to my oldest son. I go, you want a cookie? And he looks right at me and he goes, whispers, those are for dogs, right? I go, yeah. And he goes, no, I don't want those. and he goes, but is it okay if I watch them eat it? I go, that's the good part. Yeah. And we just sat there and I go, you guys can't eat until we get in the car. Cause I just wanted to watch them in their rear view. And they just sat and ate the cookie. Yo, you know,
they make noises like those enjoying the cookie.
Only thing my daughter said.
Breaking down the flavors.
Yeah, the only thing my daughter said, she goes, this one tastes different. And Jacob goes, I like it though. Right?
Like real loud, blowing your cover almost. Yeah, I think it's good. Keep eating it.
No. Oh. Jacob, who was eating it.
Oh,
he liked the oldest. Trevor was like, I'm not gotcha. Eating that. Jacob was like, I like it though, right? And he's in his car seat. And
by the way, do you have a moment when your kid's like, I like it? You're like, God damn it. Like, this is the kid that's going to need a helmet that we're going to like.
All I could think was, oh, I could play jokes on him for a long time.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So the it's only open. Thing my daughter said was, she goes, just like this, kind of try though. And I almost pulled over. I was laughing so hard. But she was just like this. Two just heavy smacks.
Almost like a dog would.
Kind of dry, though.
You need to go to the bowl. Could use a bowl to really, a bowl of water to wash this down.
Oh, my God. I reminded me. I always, when we're reminiscing, I always go, hey, remember when you two ate dog treats? And they were like, yes.
So funny.
They said, you made us. I go, no, different. I let you.
By the way, you're such a fun dad. I want to hope that, because, you know, I once my nieces and nephews have just, I spoil them and I'm always so, I need to start fucking with them. And I need, like, got to take advantage of, because they remember that. And yeah. It's also builds character. It's fun for you. What's the point of also having kids if you can't dress them in weird shit?
Yes.
Name them whatever you want.
If you have kids and they're not doing chores that you normally would do and you're not playing jokes on them, why did you have kids? You can perfect practical jokes on your kids.
Yeah, dude.
It's so good. You could just try things out. And my kids, here's the thing.
Did you think of, oh, go ahead.
Well, the one thing I will tell you is, and think about how you grew up. You never remember the time your mom cut the crust off the sandwich.
No.
But you remember that weird fucking thing that happened. And it makes you laugh. You know, like, I had a friend of mine, I don't remember a lot about his house or being over there, but I remember the time he fell off the roof because that was funny as fuck.
Whoa.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was going to play a joke on his dad when he got home, but it was winter and he was on the roof and he was going up the back and he was going to push some snow down on his dad when he was,
yep.
But when he got there and he started to slide down, he couldn't stop sliding down.
So he dropped himself on his
dad. He went over his dad, and he just heard, ah, and his dad turned around.
Should have given him a dog treat.
But that's what you remember.
Yeah.
So I always thought, listen, I'm going to make memories. I want my kids to have memories. They're not all me fucking special, with them, but a lot of them
that's
are.
That's selfless, too, because in the moment, they're like, you just did that for you. But it's like, no, how fun is this now, though? Later, we get to reminisce about that.
But also, Adam, like things like, you know, we didn't have money, so... And we couldn't go to
you're talking about the family. You with your kids.
You know, when I was living over here, I lived across from the Guitar Center on Sunset. I made $1,200 a month, and I had three kids. We lived in one room.
Dude, that still is.
And so
that's so bonkers to me, dude. I can't imagine you got through that.
Yeah, but
is that why you're not fazed by anything?
I'm not fazed, and I learned so much about myself and what's important in life, and you know. I didn't have any money. And so for a long time, it really beat me up what I couldn't provide for them instead of what I could provide for them.
Whoa. That's right? A big mental shift.
Huge. Look.
Easier said than done, by the way.
Ask any of my kids if any of their friends had more fun growing up than my kids.
I doubt it.
But they didn't have stuff.
But you're also still friends, right? Because you're so great with people that have cash. Because that's probably a little bit of a dicey. Just wait, how do you navigate through staying, like bringing them over to a friend's house that's got a pool and all this cool shit,
well,
and having your kids go, I hope they have gotten enough experience perspective with me to know that like when we leave, they're not gonna be like, sucks we don't have a pool.
They never did because they didn't have as much fun. Because I was constantly, but you know what, there was one guy who Jacob went to, he went to Temple Israel here.
Cool.
We called it the Jew school. The person who ran the school asked me to my face.
Two dudes there.
They said, stop calling it the Jew school. And I was like, it's the Jew school. And they were like, yeah, but don't say that here. This is Temple Israel. I'm like, okay, Jew school.
Yeah.
So there was a guy that I knew there, super rich. And his kid and Jacob liked to hang out. And so after, you know, half days, we would go to his house to play. Now, the guy was never there. His nanny was there. And so I used to have sex with the nanny while on wow. his bed, while Jacob and the kid was playing. The nanny would make Jacob lunch and then send me home with a bag of his groceries and then take his money and go shop for more.
What?
Yeah. I told him about that about 10 years ago. And he was like, you motherfucker. He was just mad. He was like, you were fucking on my bed. I'm like, yeah, I did terrible things on your bed. I was like, I did terrible things to her on your bed. He was like, God damn it. And he wasn't mad about the
kind of, was it like a race car bed or was it just a standard normal kid bed?
Oh no, on the grown-up's bed.
Gotcha.
I was having sex on my friend's bed with his nanny.
Gotcha. Okay, I thought I was on Jacob's bed.
Oh no. So we went to this rich guy's house.
Okay.
She would make Jacob a sandwich and the Jacob and the other kid would watch TV and play downstairs. It was a nanny.
It was your buddy's house.
Buddy's nanny.
Dude, I
had sex
dropped him off and met the nanny and got enough going?
We went to the house the first time. The first time we went to the house and he was like, I won't say the kid's name, but we'll call him Jason. Jason wants Jacob to come over. And I was like, cool. And he says, the nanny will be there. I go, well, I'm just going to come by the first day because I was like, I don't know the nanny and I don't know your house. And let me just come and check it out.
Yeah.
Came and check it out.
By the way, solid dad move, not with any intention of being like,
no.
Check out the house, make sure it's kid-proof, and also there's a great place to fucking...
Yeah.
And if the nanny's hot, Jesus Christ. Did you even know there was a nanny going to be there?
Yeah, because he said the nanny will be there. So I was like, I want to make sure. I don't know what his deal is. And some of the nannies, which was great, a lot of the kids spoke Spanish, but they spoke Spanish in the house to the nanny. So I didn't know if that was going to be the deal and if Jacob, right? So
also maybe the nannies, like you, dude, unfortunately you hear these horror stories of nannies that can go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and you want to make sure that they aren't that.
So I go over and I'm like, oh, hello, nanny. And she said, I'm going to make the kids some lunch.
You
want
she have an lunch? Accent? What is she?
Oh yeah. Costa Rican. Yes. And so do you want some lunch? I said, yeah, I'll take some lunch. And so I was getting a pretty strong vibe. Nothing happened that day, but the next time...
Vibe how? Like when she was like scooping the peanut butter, it was real slow.
She
spilled some and she was like, oh, I'm going to let me that off my own out. Tit.
Yeah.
Like, that seems unnecessary in the process of making the sandwich, but I am going to keep staring at it. Doesn't seem like you needed to take a tit out. You could have easily just fucking wiped it off. There's paper towel right next to you.
It wasn't even on your tit, it was on your knee, but that's cool. But she gave me she ran her finger up my arm just a quick second as she was walking past me when I was sitting down eating a sandwich. And I was like,
goosebumps and goose bones.
I was like, this is happening. Wow. So I waited till the next time and I dropped Jacob off. And I just said, hey, I said, do you want me to stick around for a little bit? She goes, yeah, why don't you stick around? So once a week, I would go to his house, have sex with his nanny on his bed, and she would fill me up with two huge paper bags packed full of his groceries.
Holy shit.
That I would take home. I started asking her, I was like, will you buy this, this, and this? And she said, yeah. So she would buy it under the premise that it was for him.
Yes.
Give it to me, and then just go shopping again. He didn't know. He had so much money, he didn't fucking know that she was double shopping on him. And I would have her go buy me groceries because, dude, you know what it costs to live in Los Angeles.
Yep.
$1,200 a month.
Yep.
To feed three kids and me.
Yep.
It wasn't happening without some help.
Fuck.
I used to steal. Did I tell you this?
No.
We used to go to this Ralph's here. Rock and Roll Ralph's.
Mm-hmm. By the way, why is it called Rock and Roll Ralph's?
Because it used to be late night where all the rock and rollers went and shopped.
Gotcha.
They'd come down out of the hills and go shopping.
Now it's just like strippers.
Now it's.
And like, yeah. You know, producers.
Now it's Elephantitis Foot Ralph's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, it is, dude. But it's a great Ralph's.
It's
you get
great
to see
Ralph's.
Everything.
It's in at 2 in the morning, that Ralph's used to be. Bananas.
For real?
Bananas.
Because I've been there now and it's kind of, you see maybe a few tweakers.
No. Rock and roll. 2 in the morning used to be just a fucking,
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Fucking great.
That's amazing.
Great. But we used to go into that.
Why isn't there a documentary about that, by the way? Because that's
the
insane.
Rock and Roll Ralphs. Did you ever see the documentary about, what's it called? Echoes in the Hills? Mm. Something about Laurel Canyon and all the music that they made up there in the 60s?
No.
Oh my God. Right. Just about this 3-year period in the canyon about how It's a
there's so many docs I have docs on the list. Okay. So you go there late night and steal.
Well, you can go there late night. We'd go there during, like, right before lunch, and I would
better
go to
steal the middle of the day.
Yeah.
More traffic.
Yeah, nobody knows. But actually, these people do know. That's the thing, is I would go to the hot food place, and the woman knew I would have the kids order what they wanted for lunch, and she would give it to me knowing that I wasn't going to pay for it. I would put them in the shopping cart, and I would walk up and down the aisles, and this is how I used to practice jokes. I'd walk up and down the aisles and pretend to be their tour guide and make jokes about what you saw on the left. This is the diabetes aisle, or whatever I would say. And they didn't know, but I was really just practicing jokes for me. And I would wait till they were done with their food, mac and cheese and chicken, whatever. Yeah. We'd get out of the shopping cart and we'd leave. And one day my oldest son said to me, "Are we stealing?" And I said, "Do you have anything in your pockets?" And he said, "No." I'm like, "Have them come get it. We're not stealing. It's in you right now. If it's in you, it's not stealing." And he was like, "Okay." But I would do that once a day, maybe every other day, just because, man, look.
Gotta survive.
Gotta eat. I didn't feel bad. I never felt bad about taking things like that from a large chain.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? I know it sounds terrible, but I was like, you know what? This is pure survival mode right now.
Wow.
You know, I had one pair of shoes for a long time. It's one of the reasons the only thing I whore out about is shoes. Because I remember saying to myself, dude, if I ever make some money,
I treat myself,
I'm going to have a lot of fucking sneakers.
Yeah. And that'll also be a quick way to reflect and also be like, okay, cool, I've progressed and gotten to a better place.
Every time I get a new pair of sneakers, I think about...
You think about that. Cool.
Every time.
Wow.
Every time. I remember them when...
How cool is it that you're able to give away, dude, now sponsored... Controlled Chaos.
So amazing. And every year, Beth and I probably give away 200 pairs of shoes. Probably. We drive around.
Really?
Yeah. We hand out like 200 pairs of shoes.
Dang. To people on the street?
Yep. People who have you know, they have those fucked up shoes and they have we drive around, we usually give away about 200 pairs of shoes.
And you think too, because like the amount of people, like shoes, I feel like is a big, I've gotten way more into them in the last 2 years, but it definitely is. Not to say if your pants and shirts suck and your shoes are great, that everything's fine and you can look past it. But like a lot of times I have definitely become more cognizant of starting at the feet and working my way up,
man,
to assessing the person.
An uncomfortable foot.
And that goes with bums too. You know, like they probably prefer a good, they're like, dude, I can handle no shirt. Like
in LA?
And my feet are going to carry a lot of warmth in this package. So,
and a lot of weight. And you're going to, if your feet start to get fucked up and you can't walk or they start to get infected, it's over. It's over. So we try to do that.
Barefoot crossing the freeway, pushing a stroller filled with Diet Coke cans. One of my old roommates.
Wait. Crossing the freeway, pushing a stroller full of Diet Coke cans.
Yeah. Get ready. That's how this story starts.
Is that for real?
My old roommate, Scotty B, I won't say his last name. He's the Larry David, George Costanza, one of the greatest people you ever meet. Heart full of gold, hard worker, great actor. You used to make a killing in the commercial world in the late 90s.
When you still could.
Yeah.
I don't do commercials anymore.
No.
What are people making on commercials?
Not what they used to. Kevin Christie, I know, used to really bank. Now it's just, you know, they do buyouts now, and now they mix them up more.
You could make like $60,000 or $80,000.
Because they'd run one for a while, and there were less channels and more... But now it's like with the ads, and someone will just be a YouTube one. So there's a different, they finagle and fine tune ways to be. Also, Luke, the spots are just turning over. I feel like I see a McDonald's commercial where there's a couple, you know, fighting over how good the sandwich is. Next thing you know, there's, you know, a black dude and an Asian dude drinking a McDonald's smoothie, dancing in a fountain. And I'm like, okay, first of all, not realistic.
No.
I've never had anything so good I've wanted to, you know,
dance at a fountain?
Dance in a fountain.
Yeah.
I mean, I've wanted to jump into a fountain when I've been really high at the mall and I've just suddenly got like a...
I would like to see that.
Yeah. Are you ever someone who threw coins in a...
Oh, yeah.
...well and made wishes?
Oh, yeah.
At the mall, I feel like is the only time I've ever had that opportunity.
Oh, yeah, right. For sure. But there's some outdoor fountains.
Yeah.
I've also been a guy who's gone in one of those fountains and taken money.
No way.
Yeah, late at night. During that period.
Yeah. Wow.
Just a couple dollars.
Looking like a normal, because I feel like if a homeless guy came into a mall and did that.
It wasn't a mall. Where was it? San Antonio, maybe? Man, you know, you do desperate things.
Yeah. San Antonio. Okay, so Scotty B is, he's got very, you ever see that movie Pure Luck with Martin Short?
No.
amazing film. Martin Short, really? Danny Glover, holy shit. Just Martin Short, can anything go right for this guy? There you go. That's all you need. Him and Danny Glover at the height of both of their careers. It's amazing comedy, pure luck. It's fucking incredible. So he is that guy in this movie. And he was on the bus. First of all, he was drinking a Diet Coke, and a homeless person on the bus was going, always going from Santa Monica to back to Hollywood, where we lived, over on La Brea and Melrose. And he was sitting there, homeless person, went over, grabbed the Diet Coke out of his hand, took a sip, and then gave it back to him. It was like, little too bitter, and just handed it back to him. And this guy literally was just like,
what?
Thank you. And then put the Coke down, got up, walked off the bus, then saw somebody chasing a stroller that was filled with Diet Coke cans, coincidence, down the street. Saw a person chasing, screaming, my baby, chasing the stroller that was rolling away from them down the hill. So Scott chases after it, gets to it, turns it around, like grabs it. Homeless person comes up behind him, fucking, you know, tackles him to the ground. You try to steal my cans, right? After screaming, my baby, which I think the cans were his baby. Should have said babies, plural. It's besides the point. Tackle Scotty to the ground. Cops were around there, come over. Now they're fighting on the ground. Homeless dude's fucking punching him.
No!
You know, just like, you trying to steal my cans. Scott's like, you scream baby, what the fuck's going on? Like, there's a, you were chasing a stroller. I just reacted. So the cops come over and pull him off each other and arrest Scott, put him in cuffs, and are just like,
for what, stealing the baby?
They thought they were like, you tackled this homeless guy, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're trying to take his cans. Scott's just like, what the fuck would I take his cans? I just literally got off the bus. So like, we don't know, you know, enough time had been removed. They didn't see him get off the bus. They didn't know he was like a, and also Scott at the time, like, yeah, roughing it. His clothes were conducive to looking like, yeah, this guy maybe was also on the street or just a low rent fella that was trying to get by and thought maybe he'd beat up a bum and get his cans and turn them into cash. So he explained it, actually got a little calm, and the cops let him go. But then he shows up and I'm just like, I'm sitting there, you know, getting ready to go out for some shows. I'm like, how was your day? He's like, just got arrested for beating up a homeless guy for his Diet Coke cans that he was housing in a baby stroller. And I was like, well, that's cool. Yeah, I had a pretty good day too, man. I was, I saw the guy dressed as Five-O and the guy dressed as SpongeBob get into a fight at Universal, because that was my life at the time.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
How do people fight in those costumes?
Hilariously.
I mean, do their arms? I mean,
in the short, so funny.
Yeah, how did the SpongeBob?
Nobody could tell. Two people thought it was like a staged fight for the park. That was the best part, dude.
I mean, because
I was a face character, so you could always. So if I got into a fight with Captain America, people knew something was up, unless my acting was really good. But I just, you know.
But these guys were in full costume.
Full costume, yeah.
Hard to fight.
Bumping,
in
just
SpongeBob.
But just bumping, you know, rolling on the ground. But
funny.
Nobody, very funny.
I have to tell you. One of my favorite public fights I've ever seen. And these guys weren't homeless, but they were shit-faced. But have you ever seen a fight basically happen in slow motion? Like, this punches were coming from down here, and you could see it, like, they were moving, like, you know what I mean? Like, that. It was the most, because it looked like they were just both super tired.
Yeah.
So when they got and they were wrestling with each other, they were making noises like this. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah, dude.
They were just like, and I thought, this is the most entertaining fight I have ever.
Yeah. Does that get you more excited to fight or less? Does that deter you? By the way,
If you were fighting somebody who got a boner, what does that do for your?
Again, I probably.
Dude, it's 100%. It's happened in a high school wrestling match.
1,000%.
If you're a high school kid and your dick is getting rubbed that much,
confused, dude.
100%.
You can't help it. It's human nature.
Yeah.
I mean, I back away because that's just so confusing and so not expected.
Are you hard? I'm so hard for fighting you right now.
Yeah, dude. And if he says that too, I back away. I probably take off and I go, you win. Give him your wallet. Like,
I think if anybody big, if I was like, I know I'm going to get beat up, I would just drop my pants and start masturbating.
Yeah. No one's continuing to battle that guy.
Nobody's punching a dude who's jerking off. Boy. Are you?
No.
I mean, you almost.
That takes a special person to still come after you. But also, guess what? A lot of people would probably look at that as, okay, cool. Now they're vulnerable, you know?
Yep.
Like, I think about that if I ever like was in a Whole Foods or a Target or some place where you're getting some shopping done, and I'm in one of the stalls, and someone comes in and tried to like fight me, dude. What are you gonna do? That's is there a more I vulnerable would, position than sitting down?
No, but 100%.
By the way, maybe I'm not shitting. I might be peeing. I know a lot of people that are. If I'm drunk enough, for sure.
Really?
No, I don't know, dude. But who was it that just told me it's
have
a fella?
Have you seen the thing?
A dude just told me he now sits to pee. Who is it? He's not that old either. Keep going.
Have you seen the thing that women can put on their vaginas and they can pee standing up?
What?
Yeah, they can pee standing. I just saw somebody say, you know, I like weird shit.
Dude, somebody how sent do me you a product. Find these articles? Did you find that on BrettVonHoffman.net? The new lady pee.
They can stand up and pee.
A female urethra?
There was a picture of her.
They already have one, don't they?
Urethra?
Do girls have a urethra?
I think so.
First of all, can someone write that children's
girls book? Have a urethra?
No one's listening.
He says yes.
Dustin, do they?
Yeah. He says, I don't know exactly what a urethra is.
It's the top. It's that little slit on the top of your pee-pee.
Right, that's D? The urethra? I thought that was the pee hole.
D?
Is it? I thought it was... The pee hole, I think, is the, I thought the urethra might have been the
pee hole might be the unmedical term. Urethra is like if you go to the doctor, you're like, dude, my pee hole's fucking burning. He's like, yeah. Well, your urethra is actually. And you're like, oh, is that what it is? Like,
urethra sounds like a Greek god.
It does.
Urethra.
By the way, that to me would be the ultimate, like, I need to get out of work sick thing, like where you're like, I got a cold urethra. Like, no one knows how to diagnose that. Like, well, shit, we need you with a warm dick. Why don't you take the weekend off?
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to say as a boss? You're just like, all right.
If I'm a boss and someone comes in and is like, yeah, you know, I'm having some urethra issues. I'd be like, go home.
Go home.
I don't know.
I don't know if I can catch that, but I don't.
I don't want it. Yeah, I don't want it.
I don't want it around the office. It's going to affect morale.
You know what I hate during cold and flu season? When someone comes into a room and you're like, you sick, man? Yeah, but I'm going to power through. No, fuck you and power through.
Yeah, people go do home. That all the time.
What are you powering through for? I'm gonna power through. Eat
get
this.
The rest of you sick. You'll all quit. And then when you're out sick, I'll be back better.
Yeah.
And I will fucking take your projects or whatever.
And tell your boss, hey, I heard Adam's got a little urethra problem.
Yeah, decide to stay home.
Yeah.
Good thing I'm here to fucking power through.
I power through. His urethra's a little more gentle than mine.
Okay, so women take this little, what is it?
They stand ring? Up. It's like a little tube. And I saw a picture of a woman leaning up. You know how you lean over the urinal?
Oh, I don't like that.
And peeing. I was looking at it and I was like,
ah. Mrs. Doubtfire style.
Yeah, exactly. Except with
she's
an actual
she's
vagina.
A she.
One of the best.
Yeah. Movies ever.
Let me ask you something, by the way, because you brought up Martin Short. I'm super curious what you think about this. You know, Martin Short and they weren't the same actors, but they kind of played the same role in the movies back then. Martin Short and Rick Moranis.
Great.
I
put them side by side. They should have done a brother movie.
Rick Moranis, to me, he is one of the most, because he disappeared. He, you know, I read an article about him recently. Somebody went and was like, why did you leave Hollywood? He's like, I was just done. I just didn't want to do it anymore.
Love that about him, though.
But
he did enough.
His dude.
People would love to see him, though.
Him in
My Blue Valentine? No.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. How about him in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, dude?
I watched it the other day.
The original.
I watched it the other day.
You almost don't need to. I wonder if he also was like, I made one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm saying that.
A bunch of them, by the way.
Yeah. And I think he did the second one, Honey, I Blew Up the Kids.
Yep.
And then it was like,
who's
Honey, I Blew
Up
the Baby. And then there was like Baby's Day Out, which was like a spinoff.
But who do you think has a better list of movies top to bottom?
Moranis
Martin Short? Because look, Martin Short did Three Amigos to me.
We'd have to pull those up side by side.
I'm going to look at Martin Short.
Okay, I'll pull up Rick Moranis. Cool.
Three Amigos to me is...
Wait, you're pulling up who?
I'm pulling up Moranis.
Okay, I'm pulling up Short.
Three Amigos to me is one of the all-timers. Is one of the all-timers.
Martin Short.
You know what else is another? Planes, Trains, Automobiles. Did you watch that growing up or were you too young for that?
That's not Rick Moranis.
No. But Planes, Trains also.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, dude. Okay, dude. Here we go. Movies, Rick Moranis. Honey, I Shrunk. Oh, Spaceballs, dude. Come on, Spaceballs. Him in Spaceballs with that giant fucking helmet.
Oh,
Ghostbusters.
Spaceballs, okay.
Little Shop of Horrors.
What you got for me?
Flintstones. Ghostbusters 2. Strange Brew, motherfucker.
Wow.
Strange Brew.
Wow.
Little Giants.
Little Giants, underrated.
Okay.
Don't add that. That's Ed O'Neill.
Parenthood.
Wow, Parenthood's one of the greatest films of all time.
Streets of Fire doesn't count. My Blue Heaven.
Great.
Big Bully with Tom Arnold. I did like that. Let's think what else. Club Paradise. That actually made me laugh. Brewster's Millions. L.A. Story. All right.
How many Honey I Shrunks?
Two. There's a Honey I Shrunk and Honey I Blew Up.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the highlights.
Those are amazing.
For Rick Moranis.
All right. I'm going to give you...
Martin Short.
Wow, okay. By the way, pure luck not in here. Let me... This is IMDb. Where'd you go to? IMDb or what? Wikipedia.
I went to... When I just Googled it...
I'm going to Wikipedia.
All those came up.
Okay, great.
My Blue Heaven, by the way, was a funny movie.
Filmography. Amazing movie. Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Steve Martin also had a great run. Okay, Martin Short. Lost and Found.
Yep.
Three Amigos.
Yep.
Inner Space.
Oh, I with love Quaid.
Cross My Heart. Never saw it. Three Fugitives. The Big Picture. Who's Pure.
Three Fugitives?
I don't know. And then he had a great run of Pure Luck. This was 91. Mm-hmm. Father of the Bride.
Uh-huh.
Captain Ron. We're Back, A Dinosaur Story. Just the voice. Clifford.
Okay.
Father of the Bride 2. Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks.
Jungle to Jungle. I think was him and Tim Allen.
Yep.
A Simple Wish. Prince of Egypt voice, Mumford, Get Over It, Jimmy Neutron voice, a lot of voice stuff coming up, Jiminy Glick, Jack Frost.
Oh, Jiminy Glick, dude, that just voice. Now
it's just, then it's just voices, dude.
That's one of my favorite characters of all time.
Wow, then it's just voices. What? So not that, what?
Not that many movies.
Wow.
What about?
That he was leads in, you know?
Yeah.
Clifford and Pure Luck and Father of the Bride and Innerspace, I think were the... leads, but also, and Three Amigos, but also kind of supporting. Wow.
Yeah, maybe I remember him more just from SNL.
Now
like
let's do, Cher and Meryl Streep. No. By the way, I'm on a big Cher cake. What song do you come out to when you're on the road?
Oh, great question. It just changed.
I was going to say, because mine just changed. From, I'll go first.
Yep.
From Learning to Fly, Foo Fighters.
Oh, I like that.
To Cher's Believe at the chorus.
Really?
And at first, and I told very insecurely told the guy too, because he did the same thing you. He was like, really? And I was like, yeah, I got a bit about it. I didn't have a bit about it. It sounded like a fun, I'd heard on the radio and I was like, I'm going to come out to that. And then I say like, keep it going for, you know, Cher and the band and whatever. And I don't know. It's just, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny and it's upbeat and it's not like, I know Brad comes out to like, which I think is Green Day.
Green Day. I have to tell you, man. So for a long time, I was coming out and I would make my entrance a joke. So I would have the guy in the booth play any ridiculous song you want. And it usually came out with Call Me Maybe or something like that, right? And I would come out and make a joke about it. And I would tell the guy,
yeah.
I would say, hey, you know, the song that you pick lets them know what type of show they're going to see.
Yeah.
So I would have him play different songs and I would do different walkouts to different songs.
That's amazing.
Just because, you know, I think you and I approach stand-up a lot of the same way, dude.
Yeah.
Which is I want people leaving my show like, that was fun.
Yeah.
I want them leaving in a good mood.
Yeah.
Do you know?
They don't got to be thinking too much about, you know.
Anything.
Also, do you get bummed if people walk out and somebody says to me the other day, I had some, you know, some fun crowd work moments and they go, I don't remember any of your jokes, but I remember that part. And I was like, and they're like, and that was awesome. And I was like, thank you. But then I was like, all right, you're definitely walking away with something that you're going to.
That's all you want, man.
Retell or say want. That you saw. And also I'd maybe prefer them to retell and butcher a crowd work moment than a bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, because then they're like, this happened. It was crazy. At least they'll get the nuts and bolts of that versus like trying to remember. Because no one can ever.
Nobody remembers your jokes.
Yeah.
I just want them talking about it.
Yeah.
I want them. You know, my whole attitude on stand up has changed in the last 3 years. And I've never been better.
So has your YouTube, by the way. Talking about changing. Yeah, you had a clip go viral.
Yep.
That afforded you to create a tour in Australia.
Yeah.
But your YouTube, 1 million subscribers?
A little more than 1 million now, yeah.
What the fuck?
I don't know. I don't have
Where
no idea.
Was it 3 years ago? How many 3 years? Subscribers?
How about a year and a half ago?
Holy shit.
A year and a half ago, it was 50,000 people.
Which is still a lot.
Yeah. It's not more than 1 million.
And that was, wow, dude. And that was from
just
stand-up
based
clips
on
or sketches or what? What were you putting up?
All stand-up clips. And all long stories. You know, I had been told for so long that nobody's watching long clips online.
Yep.
And I was like, well, I don't have any short clips. I don't.
It's when YouTube hit and even Funny or Die and some of these comedy sites, it was all about like sketch and like 2 minutes,
two, 3 minutes.
And then Vine hits and it was like, now it's 20 seconds or 6 seconds. And then it's just Instagram. It's like shorter and shorter attention span. Get to the punch and the joke quicker, and then they can move on. They want to be able to scroll, digest, keep scrolling, you know?
I didn't have any jokes like that.
Wow.
So, but then...
What was your biggest clip a year and a half ago in the 50,000 subscriber world?
Don't even know.
Over 100,000?
No, 37,000.
Wow.
Something like that.
So the first draft of Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah.
Because
the
original that they posted...
Yeah.
Dude, it's got more. I used to have a bit about this. It has more views than Obama's inauguration speech.
How many views?
And I was like, that is how that this. When By the if way, you ever doubt that this country fucking doesn't like to have a little fun, but also appreciates greatness and honor stability and wants fucking to be heading in the right direction. Obama's inauguration had like 50 million views.
Yeah,
Two Girls One Cup was like 120 million.
Yeah, dude. Listen, I have to tell you,
so Obama,
I
was at how least do you 10 get reelected? Of those views. You make another. I was at least 10 of those.
I was at least 10 because I'm going to tell you, the first time I watched it, and you know I like weird shit and I'm not grossed out. That video I showed you a while back was one of the grossest things I've ever seen.
Yep.
So, but I like that stuff. I watched it just because I was like, this is
fascinated.
So, it's fake. Nobody poops in what looks like a soft serve ice cream cone.
Until now. Because that shit was real.
No.
Are we going to different? Is this a Laurel? What was it? Yanni?
Yeah. blue shirt, green shirt. That's what this is.
What's that one?
You haven't seen the blue shirt, green shirt?
No.
Yeah. Like someone's like, there's a blue dress. It's a green dress. It's a blue dress. You're like, I don't give a fuck.
Jesus, dude. It's real, dude.
It's not real.
Dude, it came out of her butt, dude.
You think it came out of her butt. The part that they ate was that soft serve ice cream. You saw someone poop, but you never saw someone poop and then eat direct.
You're telling me the editing was so good in Two Girls, One Cup that they movie magicked?
Do you want,
am I an idiot?
Do you want to see a video where someone actually eats some shit?
No. Dude, after I saw Two Girls, One Cup.
I have one of those on my phone.
I know you do, and save it for my kid's bar mitzvah. But to put on the big screen when I'm like, you don't think your dad's fun? Josh, cut to the tape. He's like, what's this? My circumcision? Better and sexier. Dude, I watched a video called Cake Farts. Ever seen that?
My favorite video of all time.
Is?
Cake Farts.
Oh, I thought you were about to just take us down a different path.
Adam, Cake Farts, there's one particular scene.
Cake Farts?
You seen Cake Farts? Yo, Cake Farts. You know the part in Cake Farts where...
I never thought that sentence would be said to me while I was alive. And not on my deathbed. I would hope on my deathbed that the conversations are so fun and upbeat, it distracts me from my pending doom.
Cake Farts is so good, dude.
You literally just said, you know my favorite part about Cake Farts?
I'm going to tell you my favorite part. Now, I didn't like meatloaf farts, and I didn't like pudding farts.
Did not know those existed.
Oh, did you need to come over and spend an hour at my house?
Well, Cake Farts has a better... Meatloaf farts is too...
Not as good.
It's also, Cake Farts has a quick punch, and it's like, cake is a softer word to say. Meatloaf, I already think of, like, there's a lot going on in the food itself.
Tell me your favorite part of Cake Farts, and I'll tell you my favorite part of mine.
I haven't seen it in a good 5 years, which it should be longer than that, but...
I was going to say, that seems like that 4 years recent. And 11 months too long.
Yeah, but I feel like the cake was... They didn't show the making of the cake,
no,
right?
No, they did not.
It just was laid out, and then she just...
Put her ass on it.
Yeah.
And then...
I think my favorite part is the initial one? The initial toot, yeah.
So for me, this is my favorite part. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I'm going to try to get through this. She puts her ass on the cake.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And there's a couple farts, but then one, she leans up, and it looks like her little asshole is covered in frosting, and then it almost opened up like... Right? And then you see her asshole open up like a little... like a little mouth. But then when she farts, her asshole does a like that. So you just see like her little asshole clapped a little bit, but there was some cake on there.
Oh God!
Oh,
thank God I ate today. Psych.
It's not as gross as the video I showed you. The video I showed you is the single grossest video.
Don't want to rethink about that. so we have to move on.
Okay, but it was a single grossest. It's a single.
Yes.
People have sent me videos. Did I ever send you the video of that dude who caught the fish in the ocean and the fish was blowing him? A fish in an ocean.
What?
Have I ever showed you that video?
First of all, there's no way a fish is blow.
Don't make me Google.
No, he grabbed a fish and put it there.
Of course. No, the fish doesn't. It's not a real blowfish.
The fish didn't go, yeah. No, I don't want to. And then got on and then said, all right. And then blew him. The fish was probably trying to gasp for air.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
The way that his mouth was contorting.
The fish, there's a part of the video where the guy pulls the fish off his dick and the fish swims back to the dick.
I mean, it's probably just a random choice of path.
Not like this. Mouth open.
Well, that's really funny. And now I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, I will. It is the fact that this dude has a friend videotaping it is the, to me, who are you going to ask? So when I see videos like this, I don't see, like, to me, it's not gross. People are whatever. And to me, it's all kind of funny. But my brain goes in different spots. Like, if you're going to find a fish to blow you, how many friends do you know that you could call right now and be like, listen, don't ask too many questions. I just need you to come to the beach with me today.
Bring your pole. Bring some sardines.
Yeah, listen, just bring a light and your camera and...
I got the boat. Yeah. I got the life preserver.
No, it's right off the beach.
Oh, wow.
He's standing. Oh, I got it.
How big was the fish? Can't believe I just asked that.
Yeah.
It's still a fish.
Valid question.
Yeah.
I mean, bigger than his dick, you know.
Did you have someone in your life that got you on this role of being interested in stuff that is mind-blowing? Because I somewhat compare it to my interest in David Blaine and street magic. But
are you interested in street?
I love it. I think it's. I love the mystique around
magic?
It. Oh yeah, I love the mystique around it. I love the people's reactions. I love, you know, David Blaine has this amazing special on Netflix where he does it. You know, he's an illusionist. He's a boundary pusher. He's testing what the human body is capable of. When I was studying abroad in London, he slept in for 40 days and 40 nights in a glass case that was no wider than you could lay down, no taller than you could stand up, and you know they said there was no food going there, water, whatever. And he got out and he had lost like 20 pounds, had all the sulfur in his mouth. And I would go visit him a lot after class when I was studying abroad in London because I was so fascinated by it. So shit like that, I feel like
that's interesting.
But I had someone kind of be like, dude, have you heard of David Blaine? And kind of get me on a roll of you know, magic. So who's that for you with all these fucked up videos and visuals?
You know what I think it is?
Or did you just seek it out?
Yeah.
You went down one YouTube rabbit hole and you did not come out.
I tell you what it is. I like fun. I like things that are different. I like to celebrate that.
Also, life can get monotonous and you want to break it up.
Man.
It's like when you're doing this, it's why I do crowd work. It's like the straight, you know, monotony of material is not interesting to me.
Dude, also, here's the other thing that why I like it is because I look for all these stories. And then honestly, you look at some of the pictures and you're like, that dude looks like a guy I saw a trader. You know what I mean? They're walking next
and it could
to
be
you
also.
All the time.
It also could be.
Yes.
What if you saw the guy who got blown by a fish at a grocery store?
I would high five that dude.
Yeah.
You would
go up to him and say, dude, I don't want to
like your work. Love your
scene,
work.
But yeah.
Great dick. Wow. You know what I did see at Trader Joe's? I walked in once to the Trader Joe's in the valley off of Hazeltine and Riverside. And there was a dude with a baby possum in a baby Bjorn, and the possum was facing forward like this. And he was walking around Trader Joe's with this little possum and a baby Bjorn. And I walk up to him. Yeah, dude. I walk up to him. I go, hey, man.
What came first?
Yeah, I go.
Did you buy the baby Bjorn? Yeah. Realize your wife couldn't get pregnant? You're like, fuck it, got to fill it with something. Found a possum. Went to BrettVonHoffman.net. Got a link to a discounted possum.
I said to him, I go, hey, man, is that a possum? And he goes, yeah. He was excited. Like, I wanted to talk to him about the possum. I go, well, he can't be in the produce section.
Thank you.
At Trader Joe's.
Thank you.
And he was like, no, the possums are as clean as us. I'm like, no.
No, they're actually not.
Yeah.
And I know nothing about possums.
Yeah, but I'll tell you.
I'm looking in the eye of a possum
100% not as clean as us. And I go, you can't have that in here. And he goes, no one's told me to leave. I go, wait right here. I'll be right back.
Oh, you're the best, dude.
And I walked
Good Samaritan 101.
I walked right up to the manager. I go, hey, let me ask you a question. Are there rules against having a possum in the store? And he looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, like you're natural. Like, well, we don't have signs, but it's assumed.
This is what he said, dude. He goes, well, it's not written down, but yeah. Like, I was the asshole. He goes, you can't bring a possum in the store. I go, go check out the produce section.
Yeah.
He's like, what? I go, there's a dude with a baby possum in a baby Bjorn. He was like, this is exactly what he said. He goes, fucking Los Angeles. Walks over there. Sure enough. He was like, you can't have. And the guy
Did
said
you follow to, behind him like a
oh yeah
angry parent?
No, no. I followed behind him like, remember when you said nobody asked you to leave?
Yeah.
I think that's going to change.
Here's Greg. See that name tag? That means he can kick out possum.
The guy says, show me where it's written that I can't have a possum.
Of course he did. Oh,
show me where it's written.
Loophole, right?
Yeah.
Kind of.
He goes, show me where it's written. And the guy said to him, he goes, I don't have to show you where it's written. And he goes, well, I imagine there are some rules and regulations in the store. And he goes, yeah, but as the general manager, it's up to me to also make them. And I'm making one right now. No possums allowed. And the guy said, he goes, on his way out, I'm never coming back here again. And the guy was probably like, when if fucking
good.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I guess mission accomplished. Yeah. You possum asshole. Yeah. By the way,
when did we start trying to make wild animals pets?
And when do we start saying I'm never coming back here again as a threat when you're getting kicked out? Dude.
Yeah.
That, what?
You're getting oh, great point.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting kicked out.
You're getting arrested. I'm never gonna murder again as you're like getting pulled away from the body. Okay, good. Then what we're doing is working. By the way, yeah, possums aren't pets. Ferrets aren't pets.
Nope. You know, Jessamay had a squirrel as a pet for a little bit. Squirrels are not pets.
What?
Jessamay found a baby squirrel.
Oh, all right. I'm going to.
You didn't
see. I can pocket that away. I love her like a family member, so I can pocket that piece of info away.
Wait,
she's also an animal lover and
you
care.
Never saw the pictures of her with the baby squirrel
I
in her pocket?
Probably blocked it out of my memory.
Oh,
in
my
her pocket?
God. In her little pocket, little
you
baby
can't do
squirrel.
That. No. You can't do that.
No.
It's in the wild. It's climbing a tree. And the ferret, I don't even, don't get me started on ferrets, which is the third time I've said that this month. where the fuck does a ferret, what are you doing?
Why?
And this possum, what are you feeding it? What is it?
What's the point?
I don't know if possums live in the wild. Are they underground?
They live in trees upside down. They hang from their tails.
Leave them there, dude.
Yep. So when we lived in Studio
parakeets
City.
Parakeets too, even people with big ass birds.
Have you seen the flocks of parakeets in Studio City?
No.
They're flocks of them. So we lived in Studio City, Beth and I, and we lived in a nice little neighborhood. And one night we're sleeping and we hear this god awful noise. Adam, I can't like that. And then just a thumping up again below our bedroom window.
Nope.
Thumping. Nope. And I was like, Beth goes, go check that out. I was like, I don't think so. She goes, go check it out. I go, okay. And I look down and it's these possums fucking.
Yeah.
And the guy's on top and ramming this other possum's head against to the,
come on,
into the house.
Yeah.
So you hear the bang, bang. And I start going, hey, hey, and not stopping him. So Beth goes,
did you know it was a possum yet?
Yes.
Awesome.
Beth goes, go get some water. By the way, and usually you turn on a light, a possum's going to scatter.
I did not know that.
Well, because they're scared of us. But I turn on the light. Hey! And that guy looked up at me like, motherfucker. Keep going. So I get some water and I pour it. And the female possum scatters because, you know, we've been found. So, and the male possum looked up at me for a second, paused when I pour, looked up at me for a second and almost looked at me like, okay. You gonna stop me from fucking like? Oh, I know where you live, dude. Like he was mad. He looked at
you
me.
You think I'm gonna fucking find a guy that's gonna bring me into his home, dude, and bring me to the grocery store?
He did not run. He looked at me like, okay, I owe you one, bitch.
Yeah,
I
see your cock block and yeah. Your awkward produce encounter.
Yeah, I bet you that was that possum's kid.
You stopped a possum.
He got mad. He was legitimately angry.
I love your wife is the best. Pouring water on to diffuse the possum pussy. Now is by the way, possum pussy is opening
band.
For Alanis Morissette on our new tour.
Yeah.
That's a great band name.
Possum pussy.
What? I didn't know that the light scared him.
I think they just...
You guys have to look that up? That's just all, also...
No, I mean, just, you know, if there's a wild animal in your backyard, usually you turn on a light and you scream something, they'll run away.
Yeah, and by the way, terrifying if they don't. If you turn that light and that they just stand there...
They're like, hey, I'm not scared.
What's your next move?
Yeah.
Light.
Did I ever tell you about our hamster? Oh my God. Same house. I hated this fucking hamster so much, Adam. I hated this fucking hamster so much because it run. They're nocturnal. They fucking run on that wheel.
Hamsters and gerbils are in the same boat, right?
The worst.
Yeah.
So, and I hated it and I wanted it gone forever.
They're bad. They also eat their family members. My sister had a gerbil once. It gave birth to like 60 babies. The mom ate 20 of them.
Yeah.
Then we just were like, we got to get rid of the rest. Before we could do that, she ate another 20.
Yeah.
Then one got out, bit my finger. I threw it against a window. It went through the window.
No.
Jumped back through.
You threw a hamster through a window?
It was, it jumped up and bit the, she brought it down to play and I fucking hated it. And it bit the top of my finger and I went like, ah, ah, like that. And it was like, it was dangling off my finger like flailing around, would not let go.
And you
had to get
fucking
a tetanus shot. And so I just did like a, like you're trying to get off a
movie fucking scene.
Yeah. And I was like, and it literally goes boom and went through the window, real thin window. My sister screamed. She chased, dude, the cops came. This was crazy because people called from.
What was the 911?
I don't know.
We got a hamster.
Well, no, because my sister then chased the hamster through the window and we had a couch right in front of this window. So she stepped up onto the couch to get the hamster in a fear of panic and went through the window herself.
No.
So then that broke. Then she's cut and bloody. Fucking cops came. My mom wasn't home and they're like, what's going on?
How old
like,
are you guys?
Oh, dude, I was probably 11. She was 13. And I'm just like, all right, observe. She's like, what happened? I'm like, you're not going to believe this. Her fucking bitch ass hamster, gerbil. He's like, well, which one was it? I was like, doesn't matter. Either way, it was nibbling on my finger.
Yeah.
Threw it through the window. Sister got angry, chased it through the window, broke the window. Fucking, because she was all bloody. So they're just like, what did you do to your sister? Because I'm sitting there with a little nibble. So they're just, you know. Anyway, so okay, so your hamster.
I tell Jacob's in the backyard one day, and he's with a friend, and this was a huge backyard. And he says to me, hey, Isaac was his friend. Can me and Isaac play with the hamster in the backyard? Now, I know for sure, yeah. They're probably five at the time.
Yeah.
Look, there's no way they're going to keep track of that hamster.
No.
But what a great teachable moment.
Come on.
And I'm going to get rid of this fucking hamster. So I go, yeah, man. But make sure you watch the hamster now. Because if you don't watch it, it's going to run away. And it's just going to be out there in the wild. And he's like, no, we'll watch it. And I go, okay. Knowing full well, that hamster, I'll never see that motherfucker again.
No.
Put him outside. Jacob and Isaac come back in about half an hour later. And I go, hey, man. It was Fluffy. I go, where's Fluffy? And he goes, what? I go, remember you had to watch Fluffy. Mm. And he goes, oh, no. So he runs outside. He and Isaac run outside, look for Fluffy. Can't find Fluffy. He comes back in. I go, hey, man, listen, no big deal. It's okay. But this is like a teachable moment for you. This is part of responsibility, you know? This was your responsibility. And Now we don't, you know, the hamster got away. And If you say you're going to watch something, you have to watch it. And all the whole thing. Obviously too young for a teachable moment, but that's what I was couching it to make myself feel better. And I tell Beth what happened. She goes, I think that's terrible, but I'm so glad that fucking thing is gone. A day later, I have the sign framed at my house. Found hamster. Somebody found this phone.
Oh my God.
Made signs and put them up around the neighborhood. So I said to Beth, I go, are we going to call about this fucking hamster? And she goes, yeah, I guess so. And they were like, yeah, we found your hamster. And I was like, this dude is a survivor. He survived a night. Studio City's got owls, raccoons, possums, rats,
holy
cats,
shit,
coyotes. And a hamster will die if you scare it. This dude survived a night. Out on his own.
Amongst all
in the big city.
The creatures.
Yeah.
Owls alone should be enough. If you survive, you get some sort of pin.
Rats? You know how many rats are running around here at night?
Oh, they'll take you out, dude.
Oh, rats, yeah.
Rats will put down their cheese to eat a hamster.
What's with the people who have rats for pets? How do you feel about that?
Psycho, serial killer, pedophile.
All those.
Distant relative.
Yeah, why? Yeah.
It's usually why? I didn't know I had an uncle, Rick, or a step aunt, Betty, yeah, or something.
And they always have the rat, like, you have rats? And they're like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, it'll peek his head out of his jacket.
Not
and
cute.
Like, what the
not
fuck?
Not cute, dude. Because, look, we have commercialized and glorified rats in movies.
Huh?
Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella.
Okay, okay.
Yep. Ratatouille.
Yep, Ratatouille, okay.
But
Ben with Michael Jackson. You know, Ben, Michael Jackson wrote that song for
this. Yes.
Yep.
Even the movie Witches, where they all turned into mice.
Oh, yeah.
Angelica
okay.
Houston.
Okay, all right.
But no, dude. They wow. That's probably the best of the rat movies.
Okay.
Theo Von, the Rat King, you know, we've turned him into a
human mats, yeah.
So it's
but are you having a rat for a pet?
No, I there's isn't it great to know a few things about yourself where you go, I'll never do that.
Yes.
I will never I feel good. Like when I see that show Strange Addiction, I go, man, thank God I might not be doing everything.
But at least I don't eat a couch.
But at least I don't want to eat a couch.
Yeah.
I don't wake up and go, I can't start this day unless I suck a foot and eat a bar of soap.
Yeah. You know?
And there's some people that can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stand up's my vice. Pot. Speaking of pot real quick, and then we'll wrap this up. Lowell's. Lowell, right?
Should we do it again?
Quick shout out to them. I would love you to, I don't know if sponsor's the right word, but let's begin some talks because I love this place.
Yeah.
And I've only been once.
Yeah, it's great.
It's the Disneyland of West Hollywood.
You know what we should do?
Pot restaurants.
You know what we should do?
Did it take 90 minutes to get a root beer float? For sure.
Who cares?
Was it melted when it showed up?
Yep.
Maybe. I don't know what we're talking about. But the fun
did
that
it matter?
I had, no, dude. The fun that I had, we walked in. For those of you who don't know, West Hollywood has obtained licenses to kind of get an Amsterdam feel in Hollywood. And this place is unbelievable. And we went with comics, which is the only way to go because everyone else was quiet and having like a very like male, like, yeah, I saw you guys some new shorts. We were just giggling like a bachelorette party at a funeral. We were just way too loud, out of place, but having a great time. You walk in, it's a restaurant with great food on the menu and pot on the menu.
But this is what we should do.
Legally.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
Once a month, just once a month, you and I should do a podcast from there. Once a month.
I'm 1,000% into it. Yes.
We'll set it up.
Great. I bet they'd be into it. It's quiet enough.
Yep. Well, yep. Once a month, the two of us.
If we could get them to allow us to do that, I bet, and just sponsor our meal and the weed and I don't know, right?
100%.
You know somebody over
there? I will call them.
Okay, great.
That
done.
Actually, dude, that would be
a great idea. Live from there?
Live from there.
Great.
Oh my God.
Yes. And we can have guests or not have guests.
100%.
Don't need them, but yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I hope if our guest is Avery, he's not going to say anything anyways.
Yeah. It's so quiet.
Yeah, he just
smoked too much.
Yeah.
Just a classic got too high guy.
Our buddy Avery Pearson came and he just, you know, when you smoke yourself, have you ever smoked yourself deaf? Where all of a sudden.
That's a great cliff.
All you hear is. And you're like,
yeah.
Smoking yourself deaf is like
it's unsettling to say the least. You're the best.
Oh, that's it.
This was great. That is it. We can do this.
Oh, and it's 4:20.
Wow, 4:21. Now, are you that much of a stickler to where you're like, well, I missed it. I guess I'll try tomorrow. If you were to smoke on four, no.
No, I'll.
You're doing your high live tonight?
I'm doing my high live. I'm taking some of those mushrooms I showed you.
Great. Control chaos
every Tuesday. And you are scheduled to come on
the 14th.
14th
of January.
With
Becky,
tell you,
I think, right?
Becky Robinson. Who was the other person who just said they?
Rudnitsky.
I don't think he could do it.
Homer's one of my faves.
He's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
But by the way, your clips from there last time were.
They were good. The song was good. My dick toss
Eric
was
Griffin.
Really great. Oh, I love it, dude. That's a good mix.
You guys are going
to
be.
Get us to do a song of some sort.
Oh, 100%. You know, the new segment that I was doing, it's called Musical Theater. And so I give you a scene.
Yes, I saw that. Amazing. Jade did a great one. Really great.
Great one.
The show is, it streams on your Facebook
Live. My Facebook Live, yeah.
Every Tuesday, it's
7
one
o'clock.
Of the best shows. Every comic does it. We've obviously
tonight
talked about
it. Tonight is Tim Dillon, Trevor Wallace, and Amy Miller.
Jesus, dude. Fire. Tim Dillon's also a beast.
Oh my
God. And then your special Father
of the Year on my YouTube page. Everything's for free.
Dude,
I'm shooting another special I'm shooting two really in March.
Wow.
I'm shooting one that's an hour of stand up and one that's just an hour of me on guitar.
And you did, you cut up your special too and put it in clips.
Yep.
And that's what helped also give the booster.
100%. But I also stopped. I was like, unless it's Netflix, because Netflix really makes a difference for a career. Besides that, what am I? I'm not going to charge people. I'm like, you don't have to buy it. It's going to be a YouTube for free, and I hope you like it. And what it's I do is
special. People were all about it, huh?
Yeah, man.
Great. Where are you going to shoot it?
I'm going to shoot it. I believe we're going to shoot it in Spokane, Washington. I'm going to shoot it at a comedy club. I'm going to shoot it at Adams Club and it's Spokane. Comedy Club.
Yep. Very cool. They'll love that.
Yeah.
Good for you, dude. Well, Josh Wolf on Twitter and
Josh
Instagram.
Josh Wolf Comedy on all that stuff.
Prince of the Wolf, your podcast, Control Chaos. JoshWolfComedy.com for tour dates.
Yep. ComedianJoshWolf.com.
ComedianJoshWolf.com. And, dude, if we the Lowell's podcast should happen.
But, we're definitely going to do that.
But
I'm going to call
it. Did you have a congrats million subscriber?
Yep. I got the party? Plaque. No, I have a plaque, though. They sent me a huge plaque.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you monetizing your clips?
Yep.
Making some cash?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Good. It's been...
Did you buy shoes with that money?
Yes.
Amazing. Well, we've talked about a lot. There's probably a lot of hashtags to create from this app. But if you've learned anything, fuck with your kids.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I used to put them in the trunk of my car and drive around an empty parking lot because we couldn't afford a roller coaster. So we'd put them in the trunk and then all, and we'd go over speed bumps and shit. And you could hear them in the back going, ha, 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 ooh, ha, ha. And that was their roller coaster, was the trunk of my car in that parking lot, the Rock and Roll Ralph's parking lot, where it was empty.
That is the only time when it's okay to put someone in a trunk.
Yes.
When you tell them it's a roller coaster.
They loved it.
And they're your kids.
Yeah, they loved it. You can't put other people's kids.
Good night, everybody. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?